You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking at land ownership in the North Woods. Every year, hundreds of thousands of cabins and cottages, lodges across the northern third of Wisconsin, they come back to life. Docks go back in, lights on, groceries and cabin supplies restocked for the summer. Majority are owned by people who live in the region, but one out of five is not. Northern Wisconsin has mostly avoided COVID-19, but that could change as the region swells with out-of-towners in the summer. Are you worried about out-of-state residents visiting your rural community? If you live in a Northwoods town, how prepared is your area for a coronavirus surge? Do you feel like local officials have a handle on this? We're at 800-642-1234. Ryan Weichelt is an associate professor of geography at UW-Eau Claire and a contributor to WisConText. Ryan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, let's go to the North Woods where you've been looking at land. And there's often the sentiment that residents from Chicago and other places, they come in and they populate these small communities. But when you looked at the ownership and traced it, what did you find there? Does that Illinois owns the Northwoods slogan, does that hold?
Yeah, that's always an interesting question when we came across this massive data set of hundreds of thousands of parcels. You know, we had that perception that Illinois had owned most of the Northwoods because that's the perception that we have. And we were actually shocked when we were able to kind of break the numbers down. And I guess two things really stood out was, yes, Illinois does have an influence on the Northwoods, but we were really shocked by the impact of southern Wisconsin, specifically around Madison and the Milwaukee area, and then the impact of the Twin Cities on ownership in the northern parts of Wisconsin.
So are you saying that Illinois was lower down the list than those areas that you described, Madison, Milwaukee, Twin Cities?
Yeah, I mean, the number one obviously was the Madison, Milwaukee area, but we also had Minnesota, which was higher than Illinois. So we were actually kind of really shocked by that having those perceptions. My co-author had grown up there and kind of had those perceptions as well. And I grew up in Marshfield area and had that perception. So this is interesting to see the patterns play out.
Okay, so which northern Wisconsin counties did you specifically look at?
Yeah, we concentrated, I guess the best way to kind of think about it, if you know your highways in Wisconsin, more or less kind of taking Highway 29, which runs from west to east across the state, and the one county that kind of gets cut off is Chippewa County, everything north of Chippewa County. I could list all 21 if you want.
No, that's all right. you can stick to the highways.
So, Chippewa Falls and like Taylor County and everything north of there. The exception, we didn't look at Menominee County. That data was not available for many reasons. So,
all right. So where did you get this data? Where did you go to get it?
Yeah, we kind of stumbled across this a few years ago, and it came out of the Wisconsin State Legislature, of all places, and they passed it in the 2013-15 budget to allow a statewide parcel net. The way it was working before is every county was sort of doing their own thing, and so the data came, they asked the state cartographer's office to sort of coordinate across this, and every year they start adding more and more of this information. So the information that comes across is all public knowledge. It's the same stuff that if you actually go to your county websites now, you can see many of the information. It's just your tax bill. It'll show assessed value. It'll show where the tax bill gets sent. And some other information about your property. And so that's how we kind of made the assumption that looking at this data, that we assume that if your tax bill was sent somewhere, that was probably your permanent residence. So, we're probably missing a few people here and there, but more or less that's how the data was utilized.
And when you say a statewide parcel net, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so basically it's every county has to contribute to the best of their ability all the parcel data for their counties, and they put it together in one file. And as a geographer, we make lots of maps. We use geographic information systems, GIS. And by having all that data in one particular place, we can kind of do these sorts of analysis. So,
it becomes a field day for you.
Yeah, just a little bit too much.
When did you get your hands on this data? How long have you been working with it?
Yeah, we started this in 2016, 16-17. You know, we're really lucky at UW-Eau Claire is we really value our undergraduate research, and we got a few grants over the last two summers to work with four different students, and you know, they were kind of helping and doing the nitty-gritty and sort of digging through the data mining. And so, you know, every year new data comes out. The data that you're looking at is from 2018. Yeah, but we've been working on this for 2 years, and you know, I feel like we've just maybe scratch the surface of everything you can do with it.
Ryan Weichelt is with us. He crunched the numbers to find out who owns the Northwoods parcels. He shared his findings in an article for Wisconsin. You can join in if you're a full-time resident of northern Wisconsin. Are you excited or nervous to see the return of summer tourists? If you own a cabin or a second home there, tell us how often you go there, what do you like about it, and when do you go? How are you handling it right now during the pandemic? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Ryan, in the 21 counties you looked at, there have been 6 deaths so far from the coronavirus. Can we draw any assumptions there? Does that suggest that the plea for visitors to stay away has helped so far protect the local population?
I mean, I'm not a medical expert at all, but I would assume that, you know, early on in March, there were some counties, especially like Vilas and Oneida County, if I remember correctly, had asked people to kind of stay away. I know that sort of gone away as the governor's orders were overturned and all that fun stuff. But I think obviously keeping the disease in the hot spots and avoiding it spreading into those particular areas certainly helped. I guess it's anyone's question what's going to happen moving forward.
You also looked at the distribution of clinics and hospitals in the northern part of the state. What did the numbers show there?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of hospital care throughout most of the area. The biggest you'd find would be in the Woodruff, which is around the Minocqua area. Rhinelander, Marinette have places between, you know, 26 and 50 hospitals available. It's not until you get into the southern fringes where you see the bigger hospitals, the Green Bay areas, the Appleton, Marshfield, Wausau, and down and through Eau Claire. And obviously, we didn't map what was going on in Minnesota with Duluth and Minneapolis as well. But, you know, I know at some point some of those small clinics were closed for reasons for the hospital. I know Marshfield Clinic has a clinic waiting to open in Minocqua, and I think they're holding back on that, if I remember correctly. So the, you know, the hospital availability for the acute care that you need is at least what I've noticed in terms of the data provided by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is lacking.
So in a lot of these local medical centers have 25 or fewer beds, so not a lot of beds available to begin with.
Yeah, and I'm not even, you know, I'm not sure the specifics that go in each of those clinics. I'm not sure if they even have the correct facilities needed to deal with someone, say, that had to go on a ventilator and all that other fun stuff. So,
well, as you look at the land parcels, how much of this land is publicly owned park and wildlife that would also be attracting visitors?
I don't have the exact percentage in front
of me. Or land that is owned by the federal or state or local governments. Is that a big chunk of it?
Yeah, it is a decent size. The percentage itself is escaping me right now.
I think it says here about 38.
About 38% of that, you know, most of that, much of that, if you look at the map that's on the Wisconsin thing, provides the context of state and federally owned land. You know, much of that's forest land. There's not much going on in some of those areas, not many people living, but obviously that's a place for recreation.
Why it's so attractive, right?
Exactly.
Ryan Weichelt teaches geography at UW-Eau Claire. We're talking about his latest report that looks at who owns the land parcels anyway in northern Wisconsin. Have you enjoyed the slow start to the tourist season, or are you anxious to see the visitors come back? Do you own a business in the Northwoods that caters to tourists? How has the pandemic affected your business? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Ryan Weichelt here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're looking at how second homes and cabin dwellers could trigger a new wave of COVID-19 in our state. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The sheer number of people who make their way to northern Wisconsin when the weather warms is a concern. And as quarantine fatigue sets in, the desire to head up to the lake will become more potent. If you own a cabin or a second home in the North Woods, tell us how often you go there, what you like to do when you're there. Have you been avoiding your vacation home during the pandemic? Or did you spend the stay-at-home order there, hoping to avoid infection in more in areas of the state that are more populated? It's 800-642-1234 to join in. UW Eau Claire Geography Professor Ryan Weichelt's research land ownership in this part of Wisconsin. He stays with us. So, Ryan, there's an impression that year-round residents of the North Woods have this love-hate relationship with seasonal residents. How important are these visitors to the area's economy?
Yeah, I mean, this is the $100 million question for them. No joke there. It's incredibly important, but I think, you know, people that live up there, it's sort of this love-hate relationship that goes on between residents and non-residents. And, you know, the importance of just land ownership as a whole, if you think about the schools, the amount of money that goes into the school, some of the local school districts, specifically if you're in a school district that can take advantage of more of these second home owners, things like the Northland Pines School District, which is Eagle River, the Minocqua area, over to Hayward, the Hayward School District. These places are bringing in a lot of money. Just the Northland Pines School District itself is in the top 40 in the state for in terms of tax revenue drawn in, and around $20 million with only about 1,300 students associated with that. And so, you know, the locals have to sort of figure this thing out in terms of not increasing the taxes too much to drive these second homeowners away. So, you know, they keep their term mill rate, which is the way that you can calculate how much money you would pay for local school taxes. While you're bringing in a lot of tax revenue, it's also some of the lowest. So that's one way of trying to entice these second homeowners that come in here. And then there's the whole aspect of the work that goes on in the summer, and many of the people that own businesses up there. I don't have an exact number, but I would think well over half the revenue for the entire year is going to happen in the next 3 months.
Well, let's take a call on that note. Let's go to Tyler in Fremont. Hi, Tyler.
Hi. I own Purely Poultry, a baby chick company, and we sell a lot of chicken for meat purposes. And right now we're booming because a lot of people want to raise their own meat. They're not confident in the meat supply at the grocery store. So business is booming for baby chickens.
Oh, wow. And so have you seen an influx of tourists at all?
We don't deal with tourists, really, but
yeah.
In 3 months, there's the boating, the parking lots for boats are just full here in Fremont on the Wolf River.
Yeah, so you're definitely seeing a more activity. And when you sell your baby chickens, do you sell them directly to customers or do you go through other businesses?
We ship the birds directly to the customers. So it's people that want to raise 5 chickens or 15 chickens or maybe a few thousand chickens a year.
Okay.
And so to people that like do farmers markets and that kind of thing.
Tyler, thank you for sharing your situation. Glad to hear that business is booming. Ryan, you know, there are pockets of the economy in these areas that are doing quite well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that sounds a great example of locals taking advantage of that local supply chain for food sources and things like that. It kind of ties to what you were saying, and the caller was sort of alluding to. My co-author, Ezra Zeitler, was teaching a tourism class this semester and had one of his students that has some property up near Tomahawk and was noticing a very similar thing, and she actually went up there and took sort of a census of some of the areas and noticed a lot of people were actually at their cabins, and this was about a week or two ago. So I think some of that stuff is certainly happening, and so pockets of some of that stuff will certainly benefit as well.
We're talking with Ryan Weichelt, who is an associate professor of geography at UW-Eau Claire. We're looking into parcels of land in the North Woods, and as the coronavirus lockdown eases, it could see the return of seasonal tourists and possibly more COVID-19. You can join in with your situation. Do you go to a cabin in northern Wisconsin in the summer? What are you thinking now during the pandemic? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Ryan, you mentioned Ezra Zeitler, your co-author. The two of you didn't dig into this data because of the coronavirus. What were you trying to learn?
Yeah, I mean, this is the question. We want to know who owned the Northwoods. We are just really fascinated by the idea. One of the things we always like to say is, you know, every one of these parcels has a story to tell. And if we had infinite amount of time to find a kind of pullback about who owns these parcels and everything associated with how people were connected to this area. Every state in the United States owns at least one parcel in the study area. There's numerous people from throughout the world that own property in northern Wisconsin. And so as geographers, we're really interested in those spatial patterns. And we're just kind of really kind of hammering home and trying to say, you know, who actually owns this particular part of Wisconsin that has so much allure associated with it. And so that's kind of how we jumped into this idea of the research.
I wonder how often these parcels change hands or how long these parcels stay in a particular family.
Yeah, I mean, the longer, you know, this data set's only about 5 years old, so to try to kind of measure change over time, we have a really short window in that sense. But, I mean, you can see when you go through it, a lot of these are through trusts. And so you kind of wonder, you know, this place really took off, say, after World War II, right, where you had this kind of growing middle class. The advent of the highway system really kind of brought a lot of people from the southern parts of Wisconsin, Illinois, and western from Minnesota into the particular area. And, you know, you could think about these people growing up as children, getting to experience this. And as they grow older, wanting to kind of relive that and have their grandkids and their kids sort of experience this. It's going to be interesting moving forward how many of these homes are going to stay with these people, because some of these properties are $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 properties. Can the children afford that moving forward? So that's an interesting question, say 10 to 15 years down the line.
Let's take a call. Noah is joining us from Rice Lake. Hi, Noah.
Hey, morning.
Good morning.
Question on the data. Being in Rice Lake, we see a ton of people from Minnesota in our area, but did you find pockets of, you know, maybe someone from Illinois, some from Madison, Milwaukee, in certain areas, or was it spread out pretty evenly across northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's a great question, Noah. If you kind of have a map in your mind and you know Wisconsin counties quite well, if you take a line and kind of draw from Iron County down through Taylor County, you really see sort of a dividing line of everything from Taylor County west towards Minnesota is predominantly, I would say, for outside ownership, would be Minnesota, right? Everything east of that was sort of, when you get over to Vilas, Oneida, Lincoln County, and eastward, tends to be very dominated by southern Wisconsin and Illinois. But there certainly are pockets of people that, you know, from Illinois that own, say, property in Hayward. But I would say most of, especially in your area, the predominant owners from outside the area tend to be from Minnesota.
Noah, does that make sense? Thank you so much for the question. Ryan, will you look at other tourist areas in Wisconsin with this data set, particularly, you know, Lake Geneva, southern, you know, Illinois border area? Yeah. Or is that, you know, something that you can just say, well, we probably know what's going on here?
Well, I don't know if I say we know exactly what's going on here, but we're still
don't ever assume, as a researcher would
say. We're basically scratching the surface of this stuff in northern Wisconsin. I think Lake Geneva would be interesting. Obviously, the big one that is Door County, right? That's another fascinating. We kept that out of the study area just because it's such a in our opinion, a unique place. It's been studied before in the past. I think we're going to kind of keep our research focused on sort of this Northwoods area and dealing with the over 700,000 parcels that we have to kind of dig through.
What effect does having these out-of-towners in these communities, how does that ultimately contribute to the tax base on local services? You mentioned school districts feeling a big impact.
I mean, certainly. I mean, think about all the spending that goes on in say, things like hotel taxes. That's a huge revenue gainer. People spending money at restaurants, boating, gas, all the, you know, one interesting aspect, I think a lot of people don't, if you don't actually go up there, thinking about sort of the secondary services of locals providing support, such as, you know, putting in docks, removing docks, mowing lawns, doing all that type of stuff that goes on for these second home owners, provides a steady income for these particular individuals. And if that's not coming up there, they're going to be suffering because they're not going to be getting the money in that sense. So, you know, it's sort of an interesting loop. The tax burden is one that I can measure with the data I have in front of me. The spending, on the other hand, you know, is a difficult thing associated with, but you can kind of see the connections and the importance of these second homeowners into these areas.
Ryan, thank you for joining us.
No, thank you.
Ryan Weichelt is an associate professor of geography at UW-Eau Claire. His piece is for Wiscontext, which is a reporting partnership between PBS Wisconsin and Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, we talk with the health officer for Kenosha County, which has the fourth highest number of coronavirus cases in the state, and we get the latest on an outbreak at the Amazon warehouse there. We head to the border of Illinois right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.